This is chapter number 39. And we're going to look at we talked last Sunday night about the prospering of Joseph, and we talked about the A. I broke this down. There was an A. I didn't know there was an A and B until this week, and we talked about the A, the first part of it last week, and we're going to see the second part of it this week. And we're going to read Genesis chapter 29, verse number 3, and then chapter 29, verse number 23. And you pray for us this morning. Pray God to help us today. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us at the house of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Father, Lord, and Lord, in our lives. And Lord, God, I thank you, Lord, for these kids. And Lord, I pray that, Father, you've birthed something this morning, God, Lord, that would continue on. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would lodge that song down deep in the depths of their heart and help them, to sing praises, Lord, unto you. And Lord, let them know that, God, there's nothing, Lord, about you to be ashamed of. Lord, you've been good to all of us. But Lord, as we come before you this morning, Father, we come asking and praying that, Lord, that you would take the word of God and speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that, God, that you would help us this morning. Help us to see that, Lord, we need you. Lord, no matter our circumstances, God, no matter our situation, Lord, even, Lord, if we find ourselves in a foreign country all alone, away from, Lord, all of our kindred, Lord, we find ourselves hated by our brethren, Lord, we find ourselves, Lord, God, as a slave, Lord, to another, Lord, may we, Father, Lord, realize it, Lord, if we've got you, Lord, we've got everything. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us to draw near unto you. Lord, you can help us, Father, Lord, in our circumstances and in our situation. Thank you again, Lord, for your promises of your word. God, cloak me, Lord, in the calling, Lord, that you placed upon my life. Lord, I pray that my speaking and my preaching, God, would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but, Lord, in the demonstration of spirit and of power. God, I pray this morning that you'd take me and use me, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Help me, Lord, to sound the trumpet, God, to proclaim the truth. God, Lord, anoint the ears of the hearers. Give me ears to hear, heart to understand. May the Spirit of God have its right of way through the preaching of the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. All right. Notice here this morning we're looking at the prospering of Joseph. Everybody wants to prosper. There's nobody that don't want to prosper. You find me somebody that don't want to prosper and I'll show you a liar. I mean just plain simple fact. Everybody wants to prosper, no matter what we're trying to do. I mean, if you're doing it to fail, then, you know, you're basically lost your mind, because why in the world would you do it? So, no matter what we want to try to do in life, we want to be prosperous at it. And understand, prosper is not always about the bank account. It's not always the financial part. We think of that today as prosperity, a peace and prosperity, just with the financial side of things. But understand today, prospering is not all about financing. Right. Prospering is about being able to prosper in whatever situation. That means that you can flourish, to mean that you can have success. And may I say unto you this morning, as we study the life of Joseph, no matter your circumstances or no matter your situation, no matter what ails you, no matter what position you find yourself in, no matter what promises have been given to you but yet have been to be fulfilled, you can prosper in wherever you're at. And we see that this morning in the life of Joseph. And we see that he's been sold into slavery. We see that this man by the name of Potiphar has purchased him and has put him in his household. But I want you to notice something this morning. The perception that was given that Joseph there had. Notice there in verse number 2, the Bible said this, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Notice in verse number 3, and the Bible said, and his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. 1 Samuel 18:28 says, and Saul saw that the Lord was with David. Do you realize today, child of God, that you and I have a responsibility there to a lost and a dying world to let them know that Jesus lives in us. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. He says you are the salt of the earth. But we are a light, and we are to lighten the world and give them light and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand, this man Joseph, you say, well, preacher, I can't shine because of my circumstances, because I'm in dark days. Understand, this young man had been taken from his father's house. He had been sold, but put into a pit. He had been sold into slavery by his brothers. He had been transferred to a foreign country where no one spoke his language, where he did not understand the customs. There was not other people like him. He was of a different skin color. He was a different hair color. He was of a different belief system. But yet, this man saw that the Lord was with him. And beloved, may that be a testimony to us that no matter what we find ourselves in, no matter how dark the days, no matter how dark the nights, no matter how lonely we may be, no matter how deep the sufferings we may be going through, may we let our light shine that the others may know that the Lord is with us. He saw that the Lord was with Joseph. There's the perception that was given. But first of all, and the next thing I want you to see on the perception that's given, notice the presence that was with him. The Bible said this, and the Lord was with Joseph. That ought to make every one of us shout this morning. You say, why? Because he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Notice this morning about this young man by the name of Joseph, what the Bible says about him. It was not about him being with the Lord, but it was about the Lord being with him. It didn't say here that Potiphar saw that Joseph was with Jesus. What the Bible says was that Potiphar saw that Jesus, or the Lord, was with Joseph. He didn't have to wear his t-shirt. He didn't have to have his bumper sticker on the back of his car. He didn't have to go around telling everybody, I'm there, who he was. I'm beloved. He lived a life before this man in a foreign country in the worst circumstances that I could feel that everyone could ever live. I'm beloved in thee, but he let his light shine. And it was not that he was identifying with the Lord, but that the Lord identified with him. Let me ask you a question this morning. People see Jesus in you. They see the Lord with you. You understand there's a difference about somebody that walks with the Lord and somebody that wears a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like it. It's just not fair. You know, a lot of times I'm afraid that we're Christian in name only. Here the Bible says there that the Lord was with Joseph. And I was reminded of this, that even why, and I asked my question, why, Lord, why did you put this in the Scripture? Why is it, God, that you said that the Lord was with Joseph? Paul said this, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, there's one thing to be a Christian in name, but there's another thing of being a Christian and Christ living in you. There's one thing for you to be associated with Jesus. There's another thing of Jesus being associated with you. And the world seen that the Lord was with Joseph. And now we don't understand, we have no recollection, we have no written record of Joseph's prayer life. But we do know this, that Joseph was the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, and we do know that Isaac was alive when Joseph was sold into slavery. And we do know that Jacob was alive when he was sold into slavery. And I just believe, because I believe we can take from the Word of God, and I believe that we can deduce the fact that Jacob and Isaac both instilled in Joseph a knowledge of God. I believe that as we study this out and we look at the life of Joseph, I believe there were some things about him, and I want you to see this morning, that this prospering of Joseph was only by God and not by himself. Now understand, today in this world that we're living in, and the education that's out there, and that we are taught to be a self-made man. Now, the Bible teaches us that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And now remember, we talked last week about the pivotal point of Joseph's blessing, that Joseph had to be faithful in the areas that God had blessed him, and we'll see that. But understand this. As we see today, it was only because the God of heaven chose to bless Joseph in his situation. And notice here today that this prospering was of God, because the Bible said, number one, we see the Bible says that look at verse 3, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. May I say unto you this morning, I'd rather be ignorant, listen to me, I'd rather be ignorant of the things of the world and have the prosperity of God in my life than have all the knowledge of the world and not have the prosperity of God in my life. Amen. I'd rather have God. Amen. And I'd rather have what God wants for me. And I'd rather go through the doors that God wants for me. And I'd rather have God's blessings upon me. And I'd rather let the world see God in me. And know that it was based upon what God was doing, not what I was doing. Amen. But now, you say, well, how did this acquire? How did this happen? How did Joseph get to this place that he could see, that the world could see that the Lord was with Joseph, and that no matter what he did, and you'll find that no matter where Joseph was, whether if he was in Potiphar's house, if he was in the pit of the prison, or if he was in the palace, every time Joseph changed location, God let Joseph shine, and God was with Joseph, and the Lord made everything that Joseph did to prosper. Well, if I could just change my circumstances, if I could change my situation, if I could change my location, if I could just change, surely if I could just get out of this place, listen to me, and this is our prayer, Lord. If I could just get out of this location, if I could just get out of this situation, if I could just get out of here and go somewhere else and start over, or if tomorrow come and I could start a new day, then everything's going to be better. Understand, there was no hope for that in Joseph's life. Right. He didn't even own the hour that he had. He had no time. His time belonged to somebody else. You say, what do you mean? He was a slave to Potiphar. Right. If Potiphar wanted him up at 2 o'clock in the morning, guess what? He had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. If Potiphar wanted him brushing the baseboards there in the house of Egypt or polishing the gold, guess what? That's exactly what Joseph had to do. And understand, we can pray and ask God to change our situation and ask God to change our location, or we can surrender ourselves to the will of God at this point of God in our life and ask God to be with us and draw near to God and let God draw near unto us and ask the Lord to let us prosper in this situation that we find ourselves in. So often we're looking for a better day and a better way. I'm guilty. If I could just get to here, then everything will be okay. You know, I've said that for the last 40 years of my life.
Just get done with this.
How many of y'all, let me ask y'all that are older than me, do you ever get out of that mindset?
I could just get this.
If I can just reach this point, then, man, I'll have it. It'll all be all right.
Okay.
I ain't found it. And the way you're shaking your head, it looks like I ain't going to find it. Because, boy, if Boy Miss Fanny ain't found it at 90-something years old, I don't think there's much hope for me finding it. But the desire was this, is that Joseph had a desire that wherever he was, he wanted God's blessings upon his life. And now notice this, the prospering of God. Go to Genesis chapter 49. The prospering of God. Why did God prosper Joseph? What was it about Joseph that no matter where he was, if it was in the pit, if it was in the Potiphar's house, if it was in the prison, if it was down at the palace, no matter where it was, God blessed him. Why did God do that for Joseph? And why will not God do that for me? Now listen, I'm not talking about prosperity. Now, don't you leave here this morning and say the preacher said if I draw near to God, He'll draw nigh unto me and He'll bless me with millions in my bank account. Y'all remember the sacrifice last Sunday night, right? That sacrifice was offered. It had to be the best of the flock. It was not the worst. It was that most prized possession. It was that best looking lamb. And he took it there and he laid it upon that altar and he offered it to God. I'm there. That was his duty and that was his responsibility as a man, was to take the best of his flock, the firstling of his flock, the one that looked the best, the one that would bring the most money, and bring it and lay it on that altar of sacrifice to God, not expecting nothing in return. Not this prosperity gospel going around today that if you'll partake of your lamb and your best lamb and you'll lay it before God, that God will bless you with 10 more before you get back home. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell.
Amen.
That's not the way it works.
Amen.
It's called a sacrifice. And understand this, God didn't bless Joseph because of his sacrifice of his lambs. Because listen to me, he didn't have none to sacrifice. He was a servant. He was a slave. He didn't own anything. He was owned by another. Everything that he had in his life belonged to somebody else. He didn't have nothing of his own to give. But why did God bless him and why did God make him to prosper? Go to Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. This is Jacob's dying words in his description of Joseph. Jacob's on his deathbed and he's blessing them. He's blessing all of his boys. Listen in verse 22. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hate him. I want you to understand this. The prospering of God, Joseph was fruitful in a barren land. Joseph was fruitful in his brokenness. Now listen and listen well to me this morning. Your productivity is in a direct correlation to your position with God and not your position and location on this earth. If God can bless Joseph in the pit and Joseph in the prison and Joseph at Potiphar's house and Joseph in the palace and the Lord was with him, it's not based upon our location in this world. It's based on our location with Him. Your productivity in this life is in a direct correlation with your location to God. Notice here in verse number 22. Notice where Joseph is planted. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough, by a what? Well. Psalms verse number 1. Psalms 1:1. says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me finish reading. His leaf, listen, also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm going to read that again. Psalms 1:1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's your location. Joseph was planted by a whale. He found, I don't understand this, we know this, of Jesus there in John chapter 4, Jesus there comes to the woman at Samaria, and he asked her for a drink, and he says, woman, if you knew who I was, thou would have asked me to drink. She says, sir, you ain't got nothing to draw with. He said, I ain't talking about that water, honey. She says, the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We know that the well is a substance of life. We know that whosoever shall come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. The well is where life is made and where substance there is brought forth. And we know that water is life-giving substance. And without water, there's no productivity. I don't care what it is. You know why we don't live in the desert? Because there's no water.
Right.
You got heat, you got land, but there's no water.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what you do. If you own a manufacturing plant, you've got to have water. If you own a farm, you've got to have water. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you got to have water to survive. And water is a sustenance of life. And we find that Joseph was planted by a well. And understand this, I got to thinking about this morning, and beloved, all I could think about this, the Bible says here, notice his position was by a well, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Understand, Joseph wanted God's presence more than he wanted God's prosperity. He didn't want God to change his location. He just wanted God in his location. He didn't want God to change his circumstances. He just wanted God in his circumstances.
Amen.
Paul said this. He said, I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now this is a man that had been in prison.
Right.
Been shipwrecked. Beaten. Left for dead. And he said, I've just learned to be content. It wasn't about where his location was in this world. It's about where his location was in God. And the Bible says this in James chapter 4, verse number 4. He says, draw nigh unto God.
He'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord was with Joseph. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. I believe we have a scriptural reference that we can follow and see that Joseph wanted more of God than he wanted anything else in his life. That he had found himself planted by a well. And it didn't matter his circumstances, it didn't matter his situation, because he knew that God was sovereign, and in a second, God could change everything about his situation. You understand that, don't you? I believe with all my heart, in a second, God could change my health.
Amen.
I believe that, Miss Fanny. I believe that I could. I believe that if God wanted me to, that, beloved, by this evening, I could eat everything that is available at the fellowship.
Amen.
I believe if God wanted to, He could put money in my bank account. He can give me a head of hair.
That's right.
Whatever he wanted to do. God can do that.
Yes. Amen.
But the thing about it is, am I more concerned about what God can do for me or what God can do with me?
Amen.
And what God can do in me. See, we live our lives wanting God to change things. Joseph lived his life wanting God to change him. And he said he was planted by a well. The Bible said, let us draw near in Hebrews chapter number 4, or I'm sorry, chapter number 10. Let us draw near in full assurance. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh to them that all of them that call upon him. He was planted by the well. It's where his position was. And understand that well is a type of God. And that well was where life came from. And Joseph was planted by the well. And because he was planted by the well, God made him productive. So you know what you and I need to quit praying? Lord, don't change my circumstances. Change me in my circumstances. Let others see Jesus in me in my circumstances.
Amen.
Let the world see you in me in my circumstances. You know, these people that trade churches all the time because they're looking for something more. These people that change jobs all the time because they're looking for something more. Joseph said, Lord, just change me. Just draw me near. We sung that song, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And it drawn my heart to thee. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord. I don't want to be like Peter falling afar off.
Right.
I want to be like John laying on his bosom. Knowing the very breath of God. Can you imagine hearing the very heartbeat of the Savior? The Bible said that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Do you know why Jesus loved him?
He loved him.
Because he loved him. It was 12 disciples. One of them was a devil. But out of the 11 that's left, he only loved one more than he did the others. I mean, the Bible, Jesus said he's the disciple that he loved. I wonder what Jesus says about me. I wonder if the Gospels was written today about me and my walk with Jesus, would my name even be mentioned? And I'm not discrediting any of the disciples, Matthew or Thaddeus or the other Simon, or James. Nothing's mentioned about them. Why was Peter and James and John the three favorite? Why are they the ones that got took up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Why were they the ones that got to go to the garden?
Stayed closer to him.
Because they drawed near. Why did they get to experience things that other people didn't get to experience? Because they drawed near. Notice he was planted. Notice his position. He was planted by the well. We ought to desire the presence of God more than our power, popularity, position, prestige, or even our profitability. Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His position was by a well. I thought about this. It's a well of grace. It's a well of grace. Jesus said this, but the water that I shall give him. You understand what you have is not because of who you are, but it's because of what God's given you.
Amen.
You know that hope that's living inside of you is not because of who you are and because you read your Bible and because you pray, but because He's placed that hope inside of you.
Right.
It's been given to you. It's a well of grace.
Amen.
I was listening to a song, and this morning, it came across my mind as I came across this and reading in Life of Joseph, as Joseph was planted by the well. And there's a song, it's an old 90s Southern gospel song, "I Just Keep Coming Back to the Well of Grace." Y'all remember, anybody remember that song? "I keep coming back to the well of grace." So I don't remember. The rest of it just goes, "I just keep coming back to the well." When's the last time you went back to the well? You thirsty? You feel like you're living in a parched, dry land? Your fruit drying up on the vine because there's no water getting to it? When's the last time you went back to the well? When's the last time you just drawled up close to Him and said, "Lord, I just want You"?
Right.
"I've tried everything else." And I ain't talking about drugs, alcohol. I'm just talking about life in general.
Amen.
I thought retirement would bring me joy. I thought leaving the chicken company would bring me joy. I thought pastoring would do it. There's all kind of joys in that, but it's not sustained. When's the last time you just said, "Lord, I just need You. Lord, I just want You. Lord, I don't really like my circumstances, but God, I don't know that there's any hope of it changing." It's a well of grace. It's a well of life. Notice His productivity. Look in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. I'm afraid today that bough's it means son or child, but it also means a bough of a branch, okay? That's what it means. It's a branch hanging over. Means he had fruit hanging off his life. I just wonder, am I being fruitful? Is there fruit in my life? What kind of fruit is hanging off my tree? Is it works of the flesh, is in Galatians 5:19 through 22? Or is it more the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:16 through 18? What kind of fruit is hanging off my life when other people see me and they say, "Man, God's blessing him"? Right? See, most of the time we only think about that in prosperity,
right?
Because that's the mindset of today.
Amen.
In dollar bills. But the Bible says the love of the money is the root of all evil. It's not wrong to be rich, but when rich becomes our God and our seeking, then it's wrong.
Right.
And you say, "Well, I'm not that way." You tell me what you dwell on the most. What you pursue after the most. But I just wonder, has my boughs got fruit on them? Is my fruit withering up? Cassie's got some tomatoes and they're not, she planted them late and they're not turning ripe now because the sun. If you got tomatoes in your garden, you don't know why they're getting ripe. It's because the sun's too hot, okay? Put you some shade over them, they'll start ripening. But also later in the summer in your garden, you know, you get insects more. Everything you pick's got a whole board inside of it. And when it gets dry, it starts drying up on the vine. I just wonder when the world sees me. Remember, we're talking about what the world saw.
Right.
A lost man, not knowing God. When Potiphar, okay? I wonder when the world sees me, what they see.
Right.
Do they see a fruitful bough? Do they see vines hanging off with fruit? And it's just bending it over almost to break. You've been by them orchards there in Ella J or over at J. Moore's when the fruit began to hang on the trees and have to take sticks out there and boards to prop them up to keep the branches from breaking. That's a fruitful bough. But I wonder if he's that kind of fruit in my life. People walk by and look at it and say, huh, that's supposed to be a peach tree. Peaches are in season right now. Remember, Jesus cursed a fig tree when he walked by and it was unproductive. You a fruitful bough? It's maybe because you're in the wrong position. You may be asking God to change your location and change your circumstances instead of God changing you. See, you're not. See, listen to me. You're not trying to get near the well. You're trying to get away from everything.
Right.
Joseph was trying to get near. He was a fruitful bough. His productivity, and I don't have time to preach on all that, but I want you to notice that, his position. Notice his productivity. And I'm going to finish with this one. Notice this one. Notice we see the well, but notice the wall. Let me quote this verse to you. Jesus said in John 15, let's go back to the productivity for just a moment, about the well. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. He said, abide in me and you shall bring forth much fruit. It's where you're abiding at. The wall. Understand the wall. Notice in whose branches run over the wall. The wall was meant for containment. And I'm closing here. The wall was meant for containment. It was to contain things. That's what a wall's for. Okay, the four walls here is to contain us inside the building. But it's also to keep the elements out. It's for containment. And in that day, it was to keep them inside safety, but it was also to keep the enemies from coming in.
Right.
This is what God said about Joseph. I ain't got a bow here. I just used mine. He says his fruitful bow. Notice what the Bible said? That it runs over the wall. Y'all see that? It means it can't be contained. Ephesians 3:20, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The walls can't contain it. Our fruitfulness, our productivity, it will have to branch out over the wall. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I just wonder if we would quit worrying about our location and change our position. And we'd start drawing nigh unto God, and we start finding ourselves, putting ourselves by the well, then maybe the world could see that there was something different in us, and maybe the world could see how that the being with God was prosperous, and maybe they'd want what we got, but at the same time, maybe we could rejoice in our circumstances and in our situations, and not wishing that another day would come, then we would rejoice. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord prospered him. I want God's prospering on my life. Let me tell you something I'll never find in the life of Joseph. Never. I find it in the Psalms, and I thank God for the Psalms, and I thank God that the Lord records men. I thank God for Elijah,
amen,
that he had depression, okay? I'm honest. I thank God for Moses that God shows his anger when God told him to smite the rock or speak to the rock and he smote the rock. Thank God that's recorded.
Right.
Thank God for David's recording, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, where are you at? Hast thou forgotten of me? Why is my soul disquieted within me? I'm thankful for that. Showing the weaknesses.
Right.
But you know something I never see in the life of Joseph? And remember, there's as much scripture dedicated to the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis as the life of Abraham. As I never found nowhere that Joseph complained. owe me. I want to be like Joseph. I need to change your position. I want to be fruitful. I want the blessings of God on my life. I don't want to live under the curse of God. I don't want to live under missing the things of God. I want to be fruitful, and I want the world to see Jesus in me. Maybe we all change our attitude, change our location. Because Joseph was planted by the whale. And I'm telling you, when we get planted by the whale of water, go to Psalms chapter number 1. He shall bring forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither. Listen to this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's King James Bible. Well, you know, that was written for a different time. Yeah, but thank God he wrote it to me. You planted by the well. You drawing near. You more concerned about wanting God in your circumstances instead of God getting you out of your circumstances. You more concerned about God changing you in your situation than changing your situation. And I'm telling you, if God can make Joseph prosper in the pit, and prosper in the palace, and prosper in the prison, and prosper when he becomes potentate, and every time it's recorded, this is the recording, the Lord was with Joseph. I want Jesus with me. I want God with me in everything I do. We're standing all over the house. Miss Evelyn's coming to the piano.